You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here with Sean Quinn to look ahead to the best of Tuesday's racing. Something for everyone on Tuesday. We're going to look at races at four different meetings. We'll get to that in just a second. We're also going to look at the Monday jury as well and look back at the best of the weekend's action and the talking points across racing. Hello, Mr. Quinn.
Hello, Alex. How are we?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad.
Just saying off air, you're in a very buoyant mood today.
Yeah. Well, it's a Monday, of course, at the time of recording. And I'm just looking forward to this week, Alex. I thought, good. Woke up this morning in an optimistic mood. And then I came in and learnt how to do the podcast, which was a good boost. And then to be able to do it with you.
To treat.
What more could I want?
Well, we're recording this just before the start of the racing on Monday.
Yep.
You're about to spend 8 hours in a room with Dave Kellner. I think your mood's going to drop a little bit.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
He does have that effect on people. Give me a ring if you don't do anything silly. All right.
Things can only get worse, can't they?
Yes, as that song goes.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll start with the Monday jury on Monday, unsurprisingly. Stolen from the Racing Post, we've got 6 questions to go at here, and it's not the easiest Monday jury, is it? I mean, sometimes they'll give you questions like, you know, what's going to win the Derby, and you'll know. This one actually took a fair bit of finding, didn't it, some of these questions?
Yeah, whoever's come up with the questions has been thinking outside the box a little bit this weekend, and there's some good questions.
We'll start with, which route would you plot if you owned Irish Oaks heroine Covert Love? Of course, she came on leaps and bounds from winning at Newcastle last time out, won over the weekends in good style, and Hugo Palmer's got himself an exciting filly there.
Yeah, he really does, doesn't he? You know, she's, her progress has been quite remarkable, the rate at which she has improved this season, and you know, she's been a credit to her trainer and all of her connections. I'd imagine that they'll consider the Yorkshire Oaks at the Ebor meeting. That would seem to fit in nicely time wise as well. She'd have a month until that race. So that would seem a logical next stop for her. The St. Ledger has been mooted as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't be.
I don't know. Will she go for the St. Ledger? I don't think she needs to go for the St. Ledger. She's shown she's got speed to win over shorter trips than what she won over at the weekend. The absolute ideal race for her might be the Kipco British Champion Fillies and Mares Stakes at the end of the year. Of course, I mean, the prize money is huge, isn't it, at that meeting? So connections could go for a real payday there.
Put her away for a while, or she could run at York still.
Yeah, exactly. You go York, and yeah. But I'm sure whatever route they decide to do, they'll get it spot on, because they have done so thus far. So. They probably don't need too much help from you and I, Alex.
No, probably not. Good trainer, Hugo Palmer, isn't he?
Yeah, he's having a fantastic season. And particularly this last fortnight, he's also really running up to form and above themselves at times.
Okay, question number 2. Could Interlark win a Group 1 before the year is out? Of course, won at the weekend and hasn't done a great deal wrong.
No, he hasn't. And we know how highly this horse is regarded when he bolted up in that Newbury Maiden, and Roger Varian sent him straight for the 2,000 guineas on the back of it. He was sent off an 8-1 shot in the 2,000 guineas as well, so he was strongly fancied. He bombed out there, but it was probably just a case of it, too much coming for him too soon. But we saw the real Interlark at the weekend when he put Consort to the sword, and they pulled well clear of firefighting.
Do you think that race was completely run to suit, though? I mean, Mustardine went off a million miles an hour, went 15 lengths clear, 3 out, and you thought, is he going to stay? You know, are they going to catch him? And they didn't. Obviously, an owner mate, if you like, of Interlark. It could have been that it was just set up, and that Interlark needs a very strong gallop to go off. That said, that's not to say he won't get it next time.
Yeah, and as much as it would have suited Interlark, I think it would have suited Consort and Firefighting as well. So he still had to go and win the race. I question whether Consort is as good over 10 furlongs as a mile, so because he looked like he was going to tussle it out with Interlark before being outstayed. So maybe did fall into Interlark's lap a little bit, but he's only had the four starts to date, and I think it'll be very interesting where he goes next. But do I think he's up to winning a Group 1? Not on what we've seen so far.
No, he'd have to improve.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number three. Do you think Grand Prix de Paris winner Erupt looked a plausible ARC hero? 12-1 as things stand for the ARC. Trev, the night before favourite from 7-2 Golden Horn. 8-1 Jack Hobbs and New Bay. 10 Snow Sky. 12-4 the aforementioned Erupt and Free Eagle. 16s or bigger the remainder. Do you think Erupt is good enough? Personally, I think there's enough quality in the lineup already and have to be pretty special.
Yeah, but I was impressed with his performance in the Grand Prix de Paris. He put some useful rivals to the sword, and I was impressed with the turn of foot he showed to kick on away from the likes of Ampere and Storm the Stars. He's now 4-4 in his career, so he's done absolutely nothing wrong. He's an improving horse. He seemed versatile with regards to going. He's won on good ground and ground on the easy side of good. Well, that's the kind of ground we expect to get, isn't it, over ARC weekend later in the year. And I think he's a very, very exciting prospect. And I think he's the best of the rest in terms of the French raiders.
Okay, so 12-1 a fair
French
price.
Challenge. Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't. I think he is a player in the ARC. I mean, he's going to have to improve to get to Trev and, of course, at Golden Horn as well if he ends up in the ARC. But he is still improving steadily.
Okay, question number four. Is Golden Horn unopposable in the King George, or is there value against him? Of course, that one coming up over the weekend at Ascot. Golden Horn is 1-2. Two's on for Frankie's Mount. Snow Sky 11-2, Eagle Top 15-2, then 10s for Flincher, Postponed and Telescope, 16s the Corsican and 20s or bigger the rest.
It's going to be impossible to take him on, isn't it, really?
It's one of those ones where, would you want to take 1-2? Well, I was going to say no, but then again, he's as solid as they come.
I think Snow Sky benefited from an excellent ride from Pat Smullen at Ascot last time out at the Royal Meeting.
And also everyone else trying to beat each other.
Yeah, that's true as well. But he still had to go and win the race, and he showed his liking for the track. So he definitely is a deserving second favourite.
At the same time, is that not just giving Golden Horn a pace to go off?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly. I think he'll win, and I think he's going to win and win quite impressively. But I think Snow Sky is the most likely horse to follow him home. Eagle Top. We know that Connections felt that the race wasn't run to suit at all at Ascot last time out, so we can expect better from Eagle Top. But he's still going to do well to give the best part of a stone to his stablemate Golden Horn. I think the Derby winner will win the King George.
Okay. They go 12-1 the field in Ascot's International Handicap. Any suggestions in the race? I say they go 12-1. There's no betting on our site currently. I think there was, and it's been taken down. This is at the time of recording.
Yes.
That's one on Monday. I'm sure it'll be there over the coming hours and days. It is basically a complete lottery, the international. But something's got to win. Is there anything that's caught your eye? I've got one maybe at a bigger price in just a second.
Well, of the six questions in the Monday jury, I think this is the best one.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a pearler. You know, really test us on a Monday. Do I have any fancies for the international? At this stage, no. As you say, the betting has been suspended. The declarations were made this morning.
Yeah.
The betting will be... the declarations. There was another forfeit
final,
stage, rather.
Yeah. Yeah.
The declarations will be made on Thursday. No, you said you fancied one.
There's a couple. The speculative bid for...
David Ellsworth's horse. Ellsworth. Yeah, he ran a blinder in the Hunt Cup, didn't he?
I just think he's pretty rock solid, to
yeah,
be honest.
And I think he's probably... Well, on what we've seen, anyway, Alex, he's better at 7 furlongs than a mile.
Yes. But just a typical Jamie Spencer out the back.
Yep.
Scything through, yeah. Plenty of runners. You could see him
horse and jockey
race.
Get on really well together. And
did nothing wrong at Ascot, either.
The jockey rides at Ascot very well.
The other one at a bigger price that I'm quite keen on, King to Be for Richard Hannon. Now, whether this horse actually gets in is another question. But way down on the bottom, 7:13 he's down to carry. Unlikely that he's going to get in, but if he does, I think he's got a squeak. Showed bits and pieces of decent form this year. Not good enough at the Royal meeting, but just could be one at a huge price if getting in. I must stress that is quite a big
if. I think there's more chance of me winning the marathon than getting in the in the international this weekend, Alex. But
there you've got speculative bid.
Yeah,
as a definite runner, if you like it, as long as he turns up.
Yep.
But it is one of those races where anything could win.
Yeah, absolutely anything. Really, yeah. I wouldn't rule out Richard Fahey's horse either. Heaven's Guest, who was a winner of a listed race at Nace earlier on in the season, and he finished a good third behind his stable mate Rene Mathis in the Bunbury Cup last time out. Particularly if we get a little bit of rain through the week, I see the ground at Ascot at the moment is good. If it were good or even easier, Heaven's Guest would be a big player. He's a course and distance winner. Is Heaven's Guest? He won the Challenge Cup here at Ascot on good to soft ground back in 2013 off a mark of 100. Well, he's 103, so we know we can operate off this kind of mark.
Okay. Actually, yeah, having looked at Kintobe, there's next to no chances he's going to get in.
No.
Is there? Oh, well. Well, one but to follow then.
One for your
future.
Tracker.
Yeah,
one
definitely.
Tracker. Okay.
Is a horse going places, but okay. At least you've got Speculative Bid and Heaven's Guest.
Yeah,
in
what price? Oh,
we haven't got the price. Speculative Bid is roughly joint favourite, around 12s or 14s, or was.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
So I imagine Richard Fahey's horse will be 16, 20 to 1.
Something like that, you would imagine.
All right.
But like I said, wait for the prices on that. And I think as well, wait until the declarations are through. You're not going to lose any money. From a price point of view, you wouldn't have thought, and you do want to guarantee yourself a run. So you hang fire till Thursday in that one. And the final question in the Monday jury: what would you write in a retirement card for Richard Hughes if you were lucky enough to have his address?
Yeah, I don't actually know Richard Hughes. I don't think I've ever met him. But just wish him well, I suppose.
Seems like a perfectly nice chap.
Yeah.
Very good jockey. And he will be missed, won't he, when he hangs up the saddle?
Yeah, no, it'll leave a bit of a void in the Hannon Yard. They've got some excellent jockeys beneath Richard Hughes, who are going to have to step up to the plate, and they're going to get the opportunity to step up to the plate. But he's going to leave a bit of a void, and I suppose I'd thank him for the memories as well.
Okay, lovely. Is a particular memory, particular ride?
Any particular memory? No, but that. Was it 2 years ago at Glorious Goodwood, wasn't it, when he was absolutely unstoppable? That meeting, I think, was just a joy. A little bit like Ryan Moore at Royal Ascot this year, wasn't it? He just dominated the meeting
the
that year, yeah.
I'll throw in the ride on Monsieur Chevalier in the Super Sprint.
All right.
2000 and... Whoa, I'll be going back.
Yeah, you're going...
10, 11, 12...
I was going to say 7 or 8, maybe even.
Possibly. Obviously, a horse that's still around now, plodding away, but a typical Hughes ride. Okay, we'll move on to... Tuesday's racing, and we'll start with Foss Lass's 3:30, which is a handicap over the extended 7-furlong trip. Just the 6 runners don't go to post here, Sean. Where should we start here?
Good question. We'll start with the horse at the bottom of Charlie Hill's is Pharmaceutical, because the Hill's horses are in rampant form at the moment, aren't they? Of course, they had another good weekend. Last weekend, the likes of Strathburn winning at Newbury. They also, Sarah Jura, she won at Newbury the day before. And so the horses are going really, really well. Pharmaceutical has been holding his form quite well. Was a good second behind Liberty Jack just under 3 weeks ago at Epsom. And prior to that was third behind Light and Shade at Haydock. I think he's still mildly progressive. He's one of 2 3-year-olds in this race, the other one being Easy Tiger, who I wouldn't rule out for William Muir either. Was a bit below form last time out at Sandown, but got caught very wide that day. And I just think the way the race was run and the way he was ridden, things were against him. So he might well bounce back. I think the 3-year-olds should have the beating of the older horses. Modern Tutor is falling in the ratings, though. He was rated as high as 93 around this time last year, now running off 74, so you feel that it's maybe only a matter of time before he strikes again. And if the ground were to ease, I think that would suit Modern Tutor further, so he's one that I wouldn't rule out for Andrew Balding and Liam Canary, but I'm going to go with Pharmaceutical.
Okay, Pharmaceutical In the 3:30. Next up is the 4:15 from Musselburgh. It is a handicap over 5 furlongs. 8 runners going to post. One thing you do know at Musselburgh, it's a real speed track, isn't it? You've got to be quick there over the 5. But in this field, plenty of horses that have been knocking on the door, but pretty infrequent winners.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. One that might be a bit of a price that I'd give a chance to here is the Michael Dodds horse, One Boy, who is well suited to these types of tracks. Has shown his best form here. He's run well at York in the past. He's run really well at Thirsk on a number of occasions. We know they're all speed tracks. Mm. So this 5 furlongs at Musselburgh suits him really well. Phil Dennis takes the ride on him, taking £7 off.
Capable.
He ran over a stiff 5 last time out at Beverley, but was hampered at the start and never really got into the race. But prior to that, he'd run 2 good races behind Captain Dunn. Notably, he's run 3 starts back when he was at 3rd. Imperial Legend was 2nd that day. The 6th horse, Signore Piccolo, has come out and won since, so the race is working out quite well. You go back last year and One Boy was operating off marks such as this, and even a little bit higher than this one of 77 that he runs off. I mean, his run at York last May, when finishing 7th behind G-Force off 85, reads really well. Mm. So I think he could be set to strike One Boy. He'll get the vote for me. Others to consider. Well, Shipyard is having his first run for Michael Appleby and owner Craig Buckingham. This horse was bought at the July sales out of Andy Oliver's yard for 14,000 guineas. And the opportunities for sprinters in Ireland are fewer and further between than they are over here in the UK, where, you know, these sprinters can run more often. And so I think the opportunities for Shipyard are going to be a little bit easier over here, and he could be a player now, having joined a good yard from a very good yard. Mm. Ross A. Chancellor, we know he likes it here, so you wouldn't rule him out. An Imperial Legend is another course and distance winner who could bounce back if he showed the form that he showed 2 starts back when 3rd behind Newton's Law. He'd be a player, but I'm going to go with One Boy.
Okay, One Boy the pick then. In Musselburgh's 4:15, the penultimate race that we're going to look at is in the evening. It's Weatherby's 8:05, handicap over 7 furlongs. Arguably the best race that we're going to look at here. 9 runners down to go to post, and there's some really intriguing contenders, Sean.
There are. Zakynthos is interesting, isn't he? Heading the weights. He carries a £6 penalty as a result of a win up at Ayr last week on his first start for David O'Mara's yard.
Interesting to see that horse has been moved around so much and almost seems to get bored of where he is and needs another.
He's won for Mahmoud Alzaruni, Alan McCabe, Luca Kumani, Kevin Ryan, Michael Bell, Sean Harris, and now David O'Mara. And barring when he was with Mahmoud Alzaruni, he's been under the same ownership the whole time.
Actually, didn't win with Michael Bell, but still ran creditably.
He's certainly moved around a fair bit, Zakynthos, but he found himself in Helmsley now at David O'Mara's yard. The ground is good at Weatherby, and it'll be interesting to see if we get rain, because I think this horse is better on softer ground. Mm-hmm. So do keep an eye on what the weather does. Of course, at 8:05 tomorrow evening, it's going to go one way or the other, you feel. If it was on the quicker side of good, I'd be against Zakynthos, and if it was on the soft side, you'd be pretty sweet on him. Brian Meehan sends up great fun. Brian Meehan's horses are in good form at the moment, and he's already had a couple of winners this season at Weatherby, I think. So he has had a bit of luck at the track. This horse has only had the 3 starts to date. And he's back on turf, back to the scene of his victory as well. He won on debut here, didn't he, over this trip of 7 furlongs. And on the evidence we've seen so far in 2 handicaps at Kempton, he looks well up to winning off this mark of 80. Ruth Carr seems to be getting some sort of a tune now out of Slemmy, so he could be set to strike sooner rather than later. And I think it'll be fought out between those horses. If the ground were to soften a bit, then Kelman would come into the reckoning. Although we know plenty about Kelman, I don't think he's got too much room for manoeuvre off his mark of 84. The handicapper rarely relents with him because he's such a consistent animal.
Okay, what's the pick?
The selection in the 8:05. I'll go with Great Fun, but I'd be worried if the ground got softer about Zakynthos.
Okay. The final race we're going to look at is Chelmsford's 8:15, a handicap over 1 mile and 2 furlongs, 13 runners down to go to post. My eyes were initially drawn to Game Show here, Sean, for Godolphin. Mm. Obviously do very, very well on this surface. Kevin Stott takes the ride, and a horse that's going the right way after a few not dodgy runs, but slightly below par runs.
Yeah, this horse had only had one start on the all weather, and he had bolted up in a maiden here at the track towards the back end of last year. So we know he handles the surface pretty well, and we know how well this stable's runners do on the surface. He's been holding his form pretty well this year as well, his game show. So I'd expect a bold bid from him off a mark of 77. And you wouldn't imagine it'll be too long before we see game show running in the black and red colours of Bloomfields, would you, given that he's only rated 77s, are probably not good enough for Godolphin. But by Dubawi, out of an in-the-wings mare, he's looks sure to make a nice jumper at some stage.
John Ferguson does enjoy taking the lesser lights, if you like, from Godolphin and turning them into decent hurdlers. Main dangers to game show?
Main dangers... Well, I think Optima Petimus is interesting on handicap day before Luca Kumani, having run okay when fourth in a Nottingham maiden last time out. I'd be more sweet on Optima Petimus if that horse were drawn a little bit lower than 11. He is berthed a little bit wide, but I think he's bound to improve, so I'd probably throw him in as the main danger. And Giant Touch as well, who's another course and distance winner, has been running well enough on turf lately, but switching back to the all-weather, he'd be a big player as well.
Okay, but you're with Gameshow?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Gameshow.
Okay, Gameshow the pick then in the 8:15 from Chelmsford. Great stuff, Mr. Quinn. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your picks and your Monday jury. And enjoy all of Tuesday's action.
Thank you, sir.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.